where information of all types is so readily available. People are looking for the answers to life's most important questions, yet the darkness never seems to lift. We at Lighthouse believe that what the world is looking for is actually a person, not an idea. That person is Christ Jesus, not the Jesus in a bottle that grants your wishes, or the Jesus that is powerlessly sitting back wishing he could be part of your life. I'm talking about the Christ Jesus of the Scripture, who is Almighty God. He who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and also said, "I am the light of the world." It is this Jesus that is only found through the narrow gate. It is he who has the power to dispel darkness. Join us now for the light of the Word as we take a weekly expositional trip through the Scriptures. I'm your host, Pastor Eugene. So let's listen in to Pastor Jim as he opens the Epistle of James. James 3, beginning in the 13th verse. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This text, though it's only five verses, is cram-packed with information. As I look at this, just a couple of observations. First, James teaches that there are two types of wisdom. Two types of wisdom. There's true wisdom and there's false wisdom. And we'll see that as we go through here. And as we look at both of these types of wisdom, what we're going to really dig into and really try to understand are three areas. First, the signs or characteristics of each type of wisdom, where each type of wisdom comes from, and the outcome or the fruit that follows each type of wisdom. So these are the three areas that I want us to look into. Let's start with the signs or characteristics of each wisdom. First off, James says that it is pure. I'm on verse 17 right now. He says it is pure. In fact, James points out that first, pure. He uses that word first when it comes to pure. And you have to ask yourself, well, why would he use that word first and not just make a list? But the reason he uses that is because any kind of wisdom that is not pure cannot come from God. Any person whose thinking, whose logic, whose understanding, and whose wisdom comes from any kind of a heart that is not pure receives that from the world. In Matthew 5, verse 8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Each of these areas are a condition of the heart. Isn't that what James has been teaching us as we go through this study of James? Each one of these is a condition of the heart and allows us to either glorify God or shows us that we do not glorify God. Can you glorify God when your heart is filled with filthiness? When your heart is filled with deceit? Wisdom that does not come from God, the false wisdom, is always filled with that selfish ambition, with that self-first ideology. It's what creates bitter jealousy in us. We see something that somebody else has and we begin to covet it. We begin to desire it. And our desire for those things that are not pure become from below, not from above. I heard an illustration on this about a man who who had put a deck up on the back of his house, and that deck had been there some 15 years. And after 15 years of this deck, it was looking a little rough. So he went and he rented a power washer, and he began to wash his deck. And he started talking about the different types of grime and buildup that was on the deck, that he was cleaning it away to get back down to the pure wood. If we're not careful, brothers and sisters, our wisdom will start to collect the filthiness, the grime, the sap of this world. And it'll no longer be wisdom that glorifies and honors God, but it'll be wisdom that honors us. We see that in people around us, don't we? We see that in people of the world. He says, second, or should say, he says, then peaceable. So wisdom is first pure, and if your wisdom is pure because it comes from God, it is then also peaceable. Now, in the beginning of this section, James puts wise and understanding in the same sentence. They are not the same thing. That's the reason he brings them as two different items. Being wise or having wisdom only comes from God. But understanding or knowledge comes from learning, right? A story that I've told a time or two that has always struck me. My father-in-law was one of the smartest people I ever knew. And I remember him telling me that when he got, I think it was his master's degree, and they had some sort of a family get-together to celebrate his master's degree, there was an old farmer from out there around New Gotland who had been friends with his dad, and that old farmer told him, now that you've gotten this, he said, if you're just half as smart as your dad, you'll be all right. Because his father had true depth of wisdom. And so this old man was telling my father-in-law, telling Stan, to his knowledge, make sure he had wisdom. Sometimes we will even call that wisdom common sense. Have you ever heard the term common sense? Have you met somebody who didn't have any? Somebody who did not have common sense? And sometimes I think we should call it uncommon sense because it's not very common anymore. But that kind of sense is neither pure nor peaceable. I say all that to say that there are those whose wisdom and their understanding and their knowledge comes from leaning on their own understanding, from the ideas of this world. And what this understanding does is it puts them above everyone else. This is something we see so much of today. It's hard to disagree with somebody and not have an argument or lose a friend. I had a discussion with a man I know, a businessman over in Wamego a couple weeks ago, and he and I had a complete disagreement on something. And when we was done, he said, I like that I can talk to you and we can disagree completely on something and it hasn't changed our friendship. But you know, when we get wrapped up in how smart we are, in our own wisdom, in our own thinking, and what we think is best, and somebody challenges that, it shows it's not peaceable. It shows it comes from darkness. And people are ready to fight. I'm amazed at how little people are ready to fight over. There are things that I just flat would not post on Facebook or social media of any kind that I believe. Because even though I see other people post things completely opposite to what I believe, I've learned that in this world, I can accept someone else's view, but they may not accept mine. And so I keep a lot of those things to myself because I want to be peaceable. That's the same as what we were talking about a few minutes ago in offering grace to people who disagree with us. Being peaceable means that we offer them the love that God has offered us. About it. The Bible says, very clearly it says in Scripture, that we were God's enemies when He saved us, when He died for us. We were His enemies. And if we were His enemies and He died for us, showing the extension of grace, shouldn't that kind of grace and peace be in our dealings with people around us? And this is wisdom. This is wisdom. Wisdom is peaceable. In Proverbs 14 and verse 30 it says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy or a lack of peacefulness rots the bones. Do you know anybody whose bones are rotting? Because they're filled with envy and strife. And so they're just rotting from the inside. Bitterness, violence, hatred comes spewing out of them at every corner. Christian, beware of your attitude. James is showing us time after time throughout this entire letter how we behave to glorify God and how we behave to glorify the world in ourselves. And when we glorify the world in ourselves, it leads to destruction. Our destruction. So third thing he says here, he says first pure, then peaceable. And he says gentle. Wisdom that comes from God is considerate. It's considerate. It's gentle. It doesn't have to be combative and quarrelsome. And we should not be combative and quarrelsome. And we should not be easily annoyed. We should be quick to listen and slow to speak, right? We should, as Christians, be one who is willing to hear and love somebody even when they're wrong or you think they're wrong. Some of the most embarrassing things I can think of in my lifetime are times when I was so certain I was right and I argued that I was right and then I was wrong. Those are things I remember. And I hate to say it, but it has happened more often than I wish. Much more often than I wish. But wisdom that comes from God is gentle. And you'll know if your wisdom is gentle and from God by how you respond to pressure. Do you shout? If you shout, you lose. When you're threatened, when you feel threatened, how do you respond? Someone once said, if you lose your cool, you can't win. If you keep your cool, you can't lose. Place where I find this challenging myself is going around a big city in the traffic. Someone cuts you off, cuts in front of you. Someone's yelling, honking. You're not going fast enough. You're going too slow, too fast, whatever it might be. But it shows our heart, doesn't it? By how we respond. And it's from the heart, James keeps telling us, from the heart that all these things come. And it shows our wisdom, because wisdom comes from God. We read in our call to worship that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All wisdom comes from God, true wisdom. And it comes to us through the heart, through the regeneration, through the Holy Spirit is where wisdom comes. Psalm 103 and verse 10 says, He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that He deals with us according to His grace? If we got what we deserved, we would all end up in hell. Because we have all sinned. We have all fallen short. But because we received mercy from God in His grace, that gentleness of mercy, that gentleness of grace should be extended to anyone and everyone around us. And if it is not, we need to examine our walk with God. We need to examine our heart. Still in that verse 17, but wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle. And then he says, open to reason. So the fourth thing I see here is being reasonable. Wisdom that comes from heaven is not stubborn or arrogant. I tell you, some of the ugliest things I've ever seen are not lost people acting lost. It's those who profess Jesus Christ and have an air of arrogance about them because they put themselves above other people. To me, this is what the Pharisees did, isn't it? They announced and said who they were, and they looked down at other people because they weren't the same. But we need to be reasonable. not arrogant, not stubborn. We need to be able to discuss and hear other people's points of view and point them to Christ. For those who believe in the doctrines of grace, there's always this idea that there's a time called the caged time. For those who believe in the doctrines of grace, when they first come to believe in those doctrines and understand those doctrines, they say there's a 3-year period that they need to be locked up because anyone that they talk to, they're going to offend because of their zealousness in the truth that they see in the Scripture that they hadn't seen before. They begin to attack and they're not reasonable. When somebody disagrees with me on doctrine, I don't want to argue. I want to show you and let you find it for yourself, because my revelation poured into you is of no value. God's revelation poured into you is of greatest value. So we need God's wisdom. We need to be reasonable. Anybody who is unwilling to listen and to reason with somebody else, you would have to assume that they know it all. And what do we think about know-it-alls? Do you know any know-it-alls? The other day, I took a little downtime and I watched an episode of Adam 12, if anyone knows what that is. And in watching that episode of Adam 12, there was a little girl in there. It was a class of kids, and there was one little girl that the class called the class know-it-all. And they were doing some outside exercises and field day type stuff, and there came a question about the length of the field. And she says, I know it's right because I did it. Guess what? It ended up being wrong. A know-it-all, though they may often be right, will never listen. We're not to be a know-it-all. We're to be reasonable. God's wisdom doesn't look anything like that. We have to be reasonable. We can disagree agreeably. I'm not even one who thinks that we can agree to disagree. We can just disagree agreeably. We can discuss deep convictions without losing our temper. We can be kind to someone who holds another view. The only reason we couldn't is because we're filled with pride and arrogance, and those things are darkness. And those things come with false wisdom and understanding. Still in verse 17, after open to reason, it says, full of mercy. One more thing on open to reason before I go on to the next. Anyone who has God's word, though we're open to reason, that doesn't mean that we jump from doctrine to doctrine. That means we're open to hear and to show and to love. So then he goes on with mercy and good fruits. And I combine those two together. Mercy and good fruits. Wisdom that comes from heaven is full of mercy and good fruits. We go back to what James has been teaching us in these first three chapters, and it's constantly telling us that if we're going to do good works, if we have faith, they're going to be followed with the good works, right? The faith without the works is dead. So mercy without good works is dead. James gives the example that what good is it if somebody is in need of their daily substance and you say, go and be filled? What have you done? Nothing. Those good fruits are part of mercy. But wisdom is merciful to those who are in need. In the world, in false wisdom, they teach vengeance. But according to God, according to Scripture, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The world teaches you if somebody says or does something that you don't like, strike back and strike first. But God teaches us to turn the other cheek. Our mercy needs to be full of good works. The world around us is unmerciful. I heard a few stories over the last couple of months of how somebody would hear that there was someone who didn't have toilet paper or some other thing that has been been grabbed off the shelves time after time, they'd hear of it and they would extend in mercy what they have. Most of the people that I heard of that were extending were not people who had gathered a bunch of it up, but they were giving out of their little because of mercy. Folks, if your wisdom, if your understanding does not show the grace of God with mercy, then that wisdom, that understanding is false, and it reveals hell and not heaven. A simple definition of mercy is to do unto others as God has done to you. How has God done to you? He laid down His life. How has God blessed you? Bless others that way. Has God forgiven you? If you are forgiven, shouldn't you forgive? If God has lifted you up when you were down, shouldn't you lift others up? If God has overlooked your faults, and believe me, we all have them, right? I'm blessed to have a wife who's not afraid to tell me I have them. We all have faults. But if God's willing to overlook ours, shouldn't we overlook each other's? Shouldn't that be passed on? This is wisdom that comes from heaven. It is merciful. Wisdom that comes from heaven is also impartial. This is what we've been talking about. This is what we looked at a week or so ago when we were going through the impartiality. We were looking at impartiality due to races and nationalities and all the different types of differences that we come up with to separate and segregate people. In the scripture right here, it says that wisdom is impartial. It does not put one person above another because of any reason, but knows that we are equal. Equal. It's easy to talk about being impartial. It's a whole other thing to be impartial, isn't it? I think of my favorite sport is baseball. Until Joey got me into basketball, and now I really enjoy my basketball watching it. But baseball is still my favorite sport. It's what I played. It's what I loved. There would be officials. There would be umpires who maybe their strike zone, as we would say, it was a little big. Or maybe the strike zone was a little small. But they called it the same way for both teams. That's an impartial umpire. He may be a little off, but he's still impartial. But if you have an umpire that says, well, for this team, my strike zone is going to be a little big, and for this team, it's going to be a little small. Then you've got an impartial. Brothers and sisters, we can't be impartial with people. Yes, we can. We must be impartial. We cannot segregate and separate. We have to love each other. If we have the mercy that comes from the wisdom that comes from God. Otherwise, we show we really have no understanding. And when I see somebody who is partial, when I see somebody who is filled with racism, I see somebody who is filled with some sort of hatred, and they're partial to this person and that person, they're partial to the rich and not to the poor, whatever it might be, when I see that, I am bothered to my very core. How about you? Are you okay with it? Examine the wisdom that you have. Know where you stand. I saw a statement about a man who had passed away. Somebody had written on the condolences online. They had written this here. They said, I knew him for 50 years, and he was the same honest man at the end that he was at the beginning. You see, this world tries to influence our partiality. It tries to get us to divide. When we start dividing, we are divided and we fall. Now, the next thing he says is sincere. That wisdom that is from above is sincere. We misuse that term a lot. I've heard people say, well, I know this person saved. They may live like the world. They may be doing this and that and all these other sins. But they were sincere the day that they received Christ. Well, something doesn't match. But in our wisdom, it needs to match sincerity. We can't say one thing and do something else. Some of your versions, instead of sincerity, say hypocrisy. That we cannot be a hypocrite. That's what it's talking about here. We have to be the same sincere in what we do. When we say something that we believe is a wise statement and we're saying it, it needs to come from the heart that is pure, peaceable, reasonable, gentle, filled with mercy and impartiality. When it comes from that heart, it is wisdom. But when it comes, because I want people to see how smart I am, like the Pharisees, they would pray on the corners and in the street where people would see them in the market, but they wouldn't in their private. When we have that kind of hypocrisy, the wisdom we have is all about me and not about God. Because true wisdom always seeks to honor God. That's why it has this list of fruits, is because it's always going to honor God. And if our wisdom does not honor God, it does not come from Him. It comes from the evil one. And we need to be aware. We need to see who it is that we are. To be without hypocrisy means what you see is what you get. We don't have to put on airs. We are who we are. When I was in high school, those are the years where the Dukes of Hazzard was one of the main shows on TV. There was the horn that they had played Dixie. And several kids that I grew up with had cars that had that horn that played Dixie. I was a little different. Mine played Popeye the Sailor Man. I'd hit that horn and it would toot out Popeye the Sailor Man. So when I would honk going down the street, they knew it was me. Because nobody else had that horn. But what I liked about Popeye the Sailor Man is he would say, I am that I am. He wasn't putting himself as God. He was saying, what you see is what you get. Whether you like it or not, this is who I am. That's how we're to be. That's the type of sincerity that needs to come with our wisdom. It's not saying I'm perfect. It's just saying this is who I am. And as God grows me and matures me, I will change. But as we close, as we bring this to a close, I want you to look at yourself. What is the wisdom and knowledge that you have? Is it of the world or is it of God? Just very quickly, we'll touch more on this tonight. But very quickly, he says in verse 15, talking about those who are bitterly jealous or have selfish ambition, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, is unspiritual, and demonic. Earthly equals worldly, right? When it says that it's earthly knowledge, it's worldly knowledge, and the worldly knowledge is against God. When it says unspiritual, it's saying it's from the natural, from the flesh, and not from the spirit. And when it says demonic, it's saying it's straight from Satan. If your wisdom and understanding does not match what God says is true wisdom, there is a reason. And that reason is you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that you haven't grown enough. Because when you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit will convict you of it. So I invite you, as the Lord works in you, follow Him. Surrender to Him. Do not stand on worldly, fleshly, ungodly, demonic wisdom, but turn to God and find joy and peace in the truth. And I give Him all the glory.
The preceding message was delivered by Pastor Jim at Lighthouse Baptist Church in St. George. For more information, you can look him up at www.lighthousesbc.org.